Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Monday, the 3rd of May, 2021. Steve in Leon C in Essex, and on today's podcast, we have got the legend himself, the best looking man in podcasting. It is Mr. Colin McKee. How you doing, Cole?
Yes, I'm doing good. It's been a wee while since I've been on, but
it has. Listen, mate,
enjoy the proper performance last night. Heard a proper performance last night, so We'll get into it.
My first question is, have you ever scored a professional goal, like in a professional proper football match? Have you ever scored one?
No.
No, as your son?
Yes.
Yeah, baby. Got his first goal.
It took him a while, but
Actual proper professional on Sky Sports.
Yes.
Goal scorer McKee goes across on the ticker tape across the bottom and everything. The only chance, you know, it would have been lovely if Jeff Stelling would have announced it, but I know.
It was crazy. It's taken a wee bit longer than what we had hoped. Obviously, he's on loan with Brechin, and it's a tough stint down there at the bottom of League Two in Scotland. But he actually, as you know, he's a goal scorer, but he's been having to play midfield. Every game, I think, bar one. So he's been in a midfield. And look, he's in a struggling side, so it's difficult. They don't create too many chances. But he took his goal well. He got a chance, and it was great for him to get off the mark. And nice to see his name, as you say, on Sky Sports.
And how about you? Were you watching it on a stream of some kind?
Yeah, you can actually buy every game for those leagues. Each club has a TV link.
Right, so set the scene then. So you're in your front room, or you're watching it on the laptop, whatever. Go on.
Yeah, no, I have it on the full 55-inch screen.
Right, so he knocks it. Right, so as he collects the ball, you jump. Right, you get on your feet. Come on.
I was a bit like the Champions League semi-final all over again for me. Just seen him take a touch, and obviously he buried it into the bottom corner from just outside the box. And yes, of course, I leapt off my seat and was up at the screen shaking my fists at it. You know, so it was brilliant.
And he properly celebrated as well, didn't he?
He did. And obviously, I knew there was no VAR, so I could celebrate it as well. So so it was great. No, delighted for him. It's been a great experience. They've another last game tomorrow night, and then they're actually in a playoff.
Right.
With the winners of the league below.
Okay.
So that'll probably be in 10 days' time. So he's going to have two massive games to try and keep breaking in the league.
Yeah.
So he's actually really looking forward to that. I know, obviously, the club doesn't want to be in that position, but, you know, what a match to be involved in. And as I said to him, go and do the business, keep this team up, and your dad will have free beer and breaking for the rest of his life. So that's his goal.
That's it. Who are they playing? The Outer Hebrides or someone?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I really don't know yet.
Shetland Islands.
Yeah, I think 11. There's two teams have to play each other, and then the winners of them play Brechin. So it'll be interesting, you know.
No, great, and proper competitive football.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's back to Rangers, obviously, for the pre-season. He's 18, isn't he, or is he 17?
He's 18. He's actually 19 this week. He'll be 19.
Okay, so he'll hopefully be there, be in the squad. And if not, they might loan him out again. But it's all going okay, yeah?
Yeah, it's all going really well. It's been a brilliant experience. He's really enjoyed his time there. The club and all the players have been brilliant with him. So the hardest thing's been the travelling. Brechin's over 2 hours away from Glasgow.
Right.
So he's got to drive away up there, play a match at night, and then drive home. He's not getting home to 1 o'clock or so in the morning. So it's difficult, you know, but he's really enjoyed the experience. It's been great. And as you say, playing men's football is the main thing.
Now, Steven Gerrard, of course, is on a list of however many managers. Would you like Steven Gerrard, Spurs manager?
Don't know if I should comment on the thing. Yes, to be honest.
Oh, you got insider knowledge.
No. Yes, he would be on my list, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, as we go along, who we think. I've got, obviously, my number one target. Anybody follows me on Twitter, they would have seen all my tweets lately, but I have a list of two or three that I would like, and he's one of them.
Well, I mean, Jason, the last word on Spurs, got it. They talked about it, but I thought they got it slightly wrong, because what they said is, if he does well at Spurs, you know, even if we're in a Champions League final and Liverpool come calling, then he'll go there in a heartbeat. But I was thinking, well, good. You know, if Stevie Gerrard can get us to where we want to be, and Liverpool were knocking on the door and going, yeah, we'll have him at our club, you know, we'll have him take over at Liverpool now, we must be doing something right. You know, and then we'll go on from there. But, you know, if you picture the scenario, you get Steve Gerrard in, and it can either go one of two ways, and both ways, in my opinion, are win-win. So, for example, he gets us in the next 2 years to be, you know, top four, maybe a trophy, cut the finals, whatever, and we're doing really, really well. Liverpool come calling, they want him, fair enough. Or he's awful, you know, complete flop, and in which case he's ruined his Liverpool chances. Win-win. Because the Liverpool fans won't want a failed Spurs manager, will they?
Yeah, well, that's very true. I think
good
one
stuff
thing
all around.
I think the big thing about him, we'll maybe start the pod off about them, about who we think the new manager is. I think the big thing about Gerrard, and one thing I can take, because I am a Rangers fan as well. You know, he came into that club, and obviously they were where they were after all those years. And one thing about the guy, what I think he does, he brings in a presence. He brings in a mentality, a winner's mentality. And the guy is no nonsense. He takes no nonsense at all. Mm. And it's either his way or you're gone. And I honestly think what he's done in this 3 years, because funny, he took over the year my Chris moved over. So I was at his first friendly game. And he just takes no nonsense. And what he's done up there, I think, is amazing. It really is. You know, people can say Celtic have had a bad year or whatever, but Rangers have been outstanding again. They proved it yesterday against Celtic. I think he would be a top man to bring in the Spurs. I really do. You know, if you're looking at those, you know, Scotty Parkers and, you know, Graham Potters and those guys, to me, Gerrard is right up there, and maybe above them for what he's already done.
Who is your number one choice then?
It's Brendan Rodgers all day long. I've been tweeting it out for a week. I've been getting a wee bit of stick. People telling me, look, he's definitely 100% not coming. I do not believe the media hype. And don't get me wrong, I love The Last Word on Spurs. It's probably one of the very few podcasts that I listen to. But obviously they tweet out everything, you know, that's just being said, and I get what they do. But I don't believe the media hype. I honestly believe if Spurs want them, they're willing to pay the money for him. Brendan Rodgers is no mug. This guy is ambitious. And no matter, I know we're Spurs fans, no matter what anybody says, we are a massive club. We are one of the big six, if you would say, with the Super League thing. You know, the stadium, the training ground, you know, just everything is there. You know, I think when COVID, fingers crossed, ends soon, and the crowds are back, and the money that we will generate through the stadium, you know, we will be up there knocking on the door again within the next lot of years. And I think Rodgers is, to me, he's the only choice for us if we want to get to where we want to get to. And I still believe we will get him. I honestly believe.
Well, I'll run a little scenario through you. I might have done this last week, but let's say, like, a guy who is more than likely to be on the move this summer. And I was talking to a Norwich fan this weekend, and I asked him about Skip, and he said, yeah, he's been fantastic. And I said, and what about this Max Ahrens? Because I've got to admit, I don't watch him. I haven't seen him play that much. But two or three years ago, he was on United's radar, and people bang on about him constantly. And this Norwich fan said to me, oh, he's 100% going in the summer. He's absolutely fantastic, and he will definitely go. So this is the scenario, right? Brendan Rodgers phones up his agent and says, okay, I want Max Ahrens at Leicester. And the agent says, well, that's fine. Thank you. He's going to go and speak to Spurs because they've put a bid in for him, and he'll speak to you, and then he'll make his mind up. And Brendan Rodgers goes, well, hang on a minute. We're in the Champions League. Spurs finished sixth. They're in Europa. What's going on? You know, we're offered the same money and all the rest of it. And he says, well, you know, quite frankly, Max wants to play, in that amazing stadium with all those facilities, with all, you know, blah, blah, blah. Brendan Rodgers then goes, well, hang on a minute, because I've had an offer from Spurs as well. What if I go to Spurs? Will that secure Max Ahrens? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm getting?
Yeah, yeah.
So he could almost say to him, or you know, let's throw another name out there, Jack Grealish, who might say, yeah, I definitely want to move this year. Is he choosing Leicester over Spurs? Now, look, if you're on Twitter and you're one of these, I understand negativity, but some people tweet about Spurs with laughing emojis the whole time. You know, this has happened at Spurs, and then three laughing emojis, and you think, what are you doing? Do you support Spurs or not? Look, we can be negative, but why do we have to do LOL at the end of every single tweet? It drives me mad. Anyway, so those type of people will go, well, of course he's going to Leicester. Well, why would Rodgers leave Leicester? It's ridiculous. They're going up, we're coming down. And I'll repeat my prediction. Next season, let's just say generally, if nothing massive happens, we'll get a new manager in or whatever. And you know, the football might improve. But my prediction is we'll have a good cup run. By that, I mean getting to a final or a semi-final. I think we'll have a few decent results against top clubs, and I think we'll finish fifth or sixth the way things are at the moment. I think Leicester, on the other hand, will struggle in the Champions League. They'll go out of the League Cup and the FA Cup quite early on, and I think they'll finish mid-table. Is that what you want? Is that just to play for a team that's in the that's in the Champions League?
Yeah.
Not sure. What do you reckon?
I agree. And this has been my frustration. And look, obviously, I live in Northern Ireland, so I'm surrounded by Man United fans and Liverpool fans. That's what the majority is here. So all of my mates are Man United, Liverpool fans. And, you know, I'm getting, why would he go to Spurs? And all they can see, and I think a lot of people can see, is sure, you just haven't won anything. It gets thrown at us constantly. You just haven't won anything. But, you know, my argument is to them, and I said, look, guys, take the blinkers off. No matter what anybody says, we are a massive, massive club. And you just need to look at our fan base. You know, the Super League weren't coming in knocking on Leicester City's door to say, you know, could we have Leicester in the Super League, please? Do you know what I mean? And it doesn't come down to what trophies that you've won. It comes down to the size of your club. You know, I've seen the argument. Well, why
that's
are not
great, that's
Forest?
A great point, Cole.
It is. You know,
they wouldn't even be in the next three or four names mentioned.
100%. 100%. The same.
Everton, Villa, West Ham, even would be above Leicester in terms of size of club.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and this is the thing. And I think when people. And look, don't get me wrong, Leicester City, I love watching Leicester City play. They play great football. Their recruitment's been fantastic. But it all comes down to one thing. It comes down to their manager. And if you look at his record at Liverpool, he was so unlucky that year not to win the league. He really was, you know, with the slip from Gerrard and the game against Crystal Palace. He obviously started at Chelsea where he learnt his groundwork. Went to Liverpool, got his chance. Or Swansea. Got Swansea promoted, played fantastic football. So unlucky not to win the league with Liverpool. Went to Celtic. People can laugh and say it's a two-horse race. At that stage, it was probably a one-horse race because Rangers weren't there. But, you know, the football he had them playing, they had a good Champions League record as well with Celtic. And then he took the opportunity. Now, if you're telling me Leicester City are not a bigger club than Celtic Football Club, if you want to go into stature and fan base and stadium and everything. Celtic are one of the biggest clubs in the world. So, you know, he took that risk. When Tottenham Hotspur come knocking at his door, that guy is one ambitious guy. And to me, he knows he's not going back to Liverpool. He'll probably never go to Man United. He's not going to go to Chelsea because he was there. They've never come in for him before. He's not going to go to Man City. Who's there left? Spurs and Arsenal.
Yeah.
Does he want to go and prove himself at the top level?
Yeah.
He knows he's going to get 4 or 5 years with Spurs. Why would he not do it?
Yeah. And look, two things. First of all, Leicester are going to be relegated within 5 years. I guarantee it. Vardy's finished. You know, some of these players, I think, have been a bit lucky this year. And the second thing is that Rodgers isn't coming to Spurs. Right. Moving on.
Sorry, here. I'll give you one other prediction.
Go on.
And I can't believe I'm even thinking this way. I thought about it last night after the result, and I looked up fixtures. Leicester have got Newcastle at home this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's give them a win. They're on 67 points.
Yeah.
Their last three games are Chelsea away, Man United away, an FA Cup final, and then us.
Yeah.
So they lose Chelsea away, lose the Man United away because they'll be thinking about the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Then comes to us. If we can win, which Leeds, Villa, Wolves.
Yeah.
What an opportunity. You know,
what an opportunity.
But why should I even be thinking that way with the way we've been playing?
Yeah, we shouldn't, because we'll go to Leeds and we'll stink the place out, and that'll be that. That'll be the end of it. You know, but it would be nice to, you know, get a couple of results and all come down to the last day. Because again, you know, there's something to fight for. We've got, you know, we can move on now to talk about the protest. That are happening. I've been back and forth with people on Twitter, and the latest is just staggering. Asking about, you know, when the protest comes up. You know, we're protesting on the Saturday, possibly on the Sunday as well, when we actually play at 2 o'clock. And I'm asking if fans are happy if the protest goes so far that the game gets postponed. And there's people saying, yeah, great. They're happy for that. That is beyond me. I cannot get that through my head. They'd rather the game be postponed to make their point than watch Tottenham. You know, which is what we all love to do, don't we? We sit on the sofa at the moment, or we go up to the ground when we can, with our kids, with our dads, with our family, to watch it. And because these guys are so vehemently Enoch out, without an alternative, by the way, which me and you are, yeah, Cole, so me and you, we're Enoch out, absolutely. See you later, Enoch. Oh, we do want to see what the alternative is, by the way. You know, we got to see the alternative, because if it's Mike Ashley, no thank you. If it's air quotes, anyone, no, thank you. You know, if it's Jeff Bezos, brilliant. Let's have Jeff Bezos as our new chairman. Let's have Bill Gates as our goalkeeping coach. And let's have the Brunei as the kit man. Fantastic. Let's wear Louis Vuitton kit. But perfect. Let's do that. You know, you're talking cloud cuckoo land. You know, and then what's funny is I've spoken to all these other fans, Liverpool fans, United. I'm like, who do you want to come in? And what do all of them say? Jeff Bezos. Oh, right. the guy that's made all the money, you know, from Amazon. You know, it's bizarre. Glazers, you know, sell, you know, enough is enough. Neville going on about it yesterday. What's enough? You've won a load of trophies. You've spent £1.6 billion. Glazers were fantastic for Man United. They won loads of trophies. And just recently they haven't. Why? Because City have been brilliant. What are you going to do? Outspend City? What are you going to, you know, you're going to get someone in better than the Glazers, who's going to pour more money in than the Glazers? What's going on, Cole? Explain
it to me. Yeah, I know. And to be honest with you, I try to avoid a lot of it. You know, what's been going on, obviously the Super League brought everything to the core. But as you say, look, I've been Levy out and Enoch out for a long, long time. And I totally get our end of things. You know, we've had 20 years of this now. And you know, I think our gripe is, you know, we're not seeing our team being backed. You know, the Pochettino year, we were building the stadium, obviously, between it. Look, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. That's the be-all and end-all of it. But, you know, we wanted just to see our manager backed with two big players. Whenever we had that team that was amazing under Pochettino, that's all we were looking, because we were so close. And again, we were never backed. It's like jumping back to the Louis Saha and Ryan Nelson days.
Yeah,
you know, whenever we just needed to be backed as well. But
there's a million stupid decisions that Levy's made. You know, getting rid of Redknapp when he did get fourth and it wasn't his fault. The sacking of Jose, I would say, the most recent one, 6 days before a cup final, which he promised he'd win for us. And who would you want in your dugout in a one-off game? Is Jose Mourinho. And he's given Jose the out now, because that's all he has to say. Jose Mourinho doesn't have to say anything else. Doesn't matter about. And we'll go through his tenure in a set goal. But all he has to say is, well, I was going to win the cup, but they sacked me 6 days before. Anyway, moving on. And you're like, hang on. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's been absolutely stupid decisions. No naming rights. The list goes on of the naming rights.
Do you believe, and this is what I came to a conclusion on with the naming rights and things, that this Super League didn't happen overnight? This has been going on for at least a year and a half to 2 years, in my opinion. And obviously there's been negotiations going on in the background. And to me, you know, look, Levy and Enoch are clever business people. You know, they've bound to have known this coming. They've been hoping that this is going to happen without the uproar that did happen. And they were going, we just hold our naming rights until this goes. And that's a business decision. And to me, they're 100% right in what they wanted to do, you know. So
is the protest that we shouldn't have said yes? Because that to me, you know, initially you go, yeah, we shouldn't have said yes. But all I've heard on TalkSport and Sky Sports and all the other things, and you've probably heard it over there, is we've been ridiculed for it. Mm-hmm. So hang on a minute. We've been ridiculed because we've been invited to be in it, but we should have said no to it. Well, hang on a minute. You can't have it both ways. You either... Look, City should have said no to it because they win everything and they got loads of money. Why would they want any more?
Spurs,
imagine if it had gone ahead and it would have and we would have said no to it, and they'd have said, okay, we'll have Everton instead. And then let's say it's all going ahead and it's now 2.5 weeks down the line, and it comes out tomorrow morning on Sky News that actually Perez, the Real Madrid chairman, comes out and says, just so you know, we did invite Tottenham, but they said no. Anyway, Harry Kane obviously is joining Everton now in the summer and blah, 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 you know, because they all want to play for this thing. So, of course, we said yes to it. And if it happens again,
exactly,
I hope we say yes to it. Because what are we going to be that sanctimonious that we're just going to play, you know, West Bromwich Albion for the rest of our lives when everybody else... When everybody else is playing these brilliant, awful competition, but do you know what I mean, Carl?
Yeah, 100%. And I thought about this, and I haven't heard anybody else really say this. And when I first heard about it, yes, like everybody else, I wasn't happy with the structure of what they were saying, but I was also really excited to think we're in this. We are one of the big clubs, which I've always believed that we are. And you're right, if we had been sitting there and it was West Ham or Everton or someone else and we weren't in it, I guarantee you there would have been protests that Levy and Enoch had let us down by not getting us into the Super League. That's exactly what would have happened. And that is the big problem. I think for those guys, they'll never win, no matter what happens. But you know, someone said on Twitter, I don't know who it was, I prefer to be in it than not be in it. Put it like that, because look, no matter what anybody says, this is happening. This is going to be restructured in the background, and it is going to happen. I do believe there will be like a relegation and almost like a Champions League way of getting in and out of it. But there has to be clubs that are guaranteed to be in it. And why should we not be one of them?
Well, I mean, we shouldn't be one of them. That's the point. Because we haven't won anything and blah, blah, blah. But you know, we're invited to be, you know, and let's say it's Levy's idea. You know, even if it was Levy's idea, Levy's convinced 11 other chairmen, and then we're going to get all this money. For him, maybe, but also for the club. And I'll tell you the other biggest thing that I think is Levy's biggest mistake is not investing, because surely you invest in great players, you get the season tickets, don't you? You get more money for season tickets, you sell more boxes, you are more successful, you get more money, surely. So all these people saying, oh, he just wants to line his pockets. Well, do you know how he's going to line his pockets? If we get in the top four. And quite frankly, I would love it, to use a Kevin Keeganism, I would love it if we got top four this year. Oh, my goodness.
You know, I told you earlier it's happening. Then Brendan's got no excuse. He's coming to the Champions League team.
Yeah, wouldn't that be?
It is. It's a tough one. I think as well, you know, like COVID, this pandemic, nobody knew this was going to happen. We always talked about getting this stadium and about the revenue of having like 62,000 seater stadium, the NFL games, the money that it's going to generate through concerts and food. And, you know, it was putting us back on a par with all the big clubs.
Yeah.
You know, like you look at Man United, the money that goes through Old Trafford week in, week out, and in the Superstore and their food and their stadium. We were getting extra by the NFL, but unfortunately with COVID and what's happened, none of this has been able to materialise. And if you listen to what Madrid and these guys are saying, all of these clubs, they can't do this anymore. That's another reason I believe Harry Kane will more than likely not be away unless he really pushes it himself. Who is going to pay in this day and age if this guy's telling the truth? No one has that money, bar maybe Man City, Chelsea.
If he wants to leave, and City don't want him, or that, you know, they buy Haaland or they buy somebody else, and because, you know, quite frankly, I think they possibly would be wrong to buy him, because I think they should go for Haaland. You know, Haaland wants to go to Manchester City. I think that's blatantly clear with his dad's connections and everything else. So just go for the best striker in Europe, which at the moment, I presume, is Haaland. You know, Kane, obviously, people think it's Kane. Of course, we agree with that. But in terms of age, in terms of injuries, then, you know, for example, would you right now swap Kane for Haaland? If you could, you probably would, wouldn't you?
thinking about the rest of it
and everything else. But look, you know, if he doesn't go there, then the only other club he can possibly go to in England is Man United. And if you want to go Man United, feel free. But I'll tell you what, you ain't winning anything. Because
100%.
Because Solskjaer, he's all right. You know, you might win a Europa Cup. You might get into semi-finals and finals. But City are too good. So, yeah, or you're taking a massive risk. Someone said, yeah, but if Kane goes to United, that overtakes them to City. I don't agree with that. You know, Kane is a wonderful, brilliant player, but he's not Ronaldo.
100%. My biggest thing... Sorry, it was a bad line there. My biggest thing, and I've said this again to my United friends, they're all going, Kane's coming. I'm going, if Harry Kane wants guarantees of trophies, if that's what it's all about, he can only go to one team, and that is Man City. Yeah. If he goes to Man United, he is 100% not guaranteed. Okay, they've won the odd FA Cup and Europa League a few years ago. United are nowhere near winning the Premiership.
No.
They haven't won the Premiership since when? Eight
Chelsea
years ago?
Chelsea are going to do better than United next year.
Agreed.
I guarantee
Agreed.
it. Agreed. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Even Liverpool, I think Liverpool have still got clout. And I think Klopp is a manager that players want to play for.
Yeah.
Again, somebody, you know, when you're weighing up the options as a player, I think you'd go, oh, I'd like to play for that guy. He hugs you when you come off, even when you play crap. You know, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Harry Kane, I thought he looked stroppy. I thought he looked a bit stroppy against Sheffield United. But let's talk about the game. I think apart from the cup final, which I thought was completely a Mourinho influenced performance, and I couldn't understand what was going on. The two games, the Sheffield United game and the Southampton game, were both kind of typical Spurs performances, weren't they? Where there was a lot of giving the ball away. There was a lot of frustration, but we had our moments. We didn't kill the game and sit back. We went and got the second, third, fourth, and we should have had fifth, which Reguilon missed that chance. And I've got him in my fantasy team and I'm livid. Go on. What do you think of the game?
Yeah, no, look, I tweeted out, it was actually the first time in a long time I've actually sat, relaxed, got excited about a game, really enjoyed the football. Yes, there was a couple of wee moments in it, but that was going to happen. And I just really enjoyed the match. And as I said in my tweet, I'm really shocked that we didn't hold on to that 1-0 lead. You know, it was amazing to see that we actually scored 2, 3 and 4 and we're still attacking in the 93rd minute. So I thought it was a good performance, good, steady, strong performance. Gareth Bale, outstanding. You know, I watched Match of the Day too, actually, because I always like to see their analysts after the game. And they showed, you know, Bale, even after his third goal, making another run back into our defence, you know, to make a tackle. You know, so the talk about his fitness and things, I think there's definitely been something that's been going on at the club there with Mourinho. Biggest thing is just I don't understand why he just didn't start him in the cup final. You know, I just don't get that. But I thought the whole performance was great. It was great to see Dele Alli back on the pitch. People have sort of given him a bit of a hard time. I don't know why. I actually thought he put in a really good shift. I seen something today that he ran over 10K. I think he was the third most runs last night or most distance covered on the pitch. So I thought Dele had a real good, strong game. At the end of the day, the guy hasn't played football for 35 games, so give him a break, let him get a run. I hope he plays every match from now to the end of the season and we get that Dele Alli back for next year, because it's a massive plus for us. And put it like this, I would prefer to have had Dele running about and actually doing something with the ball than Ndombele, who I am just totally fed up with. I wasn't even annoyed he didn't play in the cup final, because I don't think he would have done anything anyhow. I think he's definitely one guy I want to see us cash in on. I don't think he's interested at all.
I almost agree with you, because I'd like to see, you know, particularly Ricky on Last Word of Spurs said it last year all the time. He said he thinks we're going to sell Ndombele and he's going to be brilliant at his next club. And I'd almost like to see that, and fair play if he is.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't mind seeing him being brilliant, actually, because I have no idea if this guy, he's like an Asu Okotu who isn't that interested in winning football. He's the kid on the playground that's got all the skills, but at the end of the day, not really that bothered. And he's quite frustrating. He should be in the team because he's obviously, you know, he's like with Dembele. People say, he's the best they've ever played with. I think they say that again about Ndombele, but the difference is that Dembele cared. He wanted to win. He got frustrated. He put a tackle in. He wanted the ball. Ndombele does a bit of skill, and you know, like our friend Tom Huddleston, he waits for the applause, which isn't there because there's no crowds. But he does his bit and then he disappears for half hour. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, frustrating. Lo Celso, again, somebody that, looks good. It was a definite red card when he got stamped on the head. That's an unbelievable decision.
Shocking
decision. The Southampton tackle, by the way, on Vardy must be. I mean, I keep saying it every week. That's the worst VAR decision, and it's not a VAR decision. VAR is perfectly fine. It's the referees that are watching the VAR and going, he caught him there without thinking, well, hang on a minute. He got the whole of the ball, and then Vardy's ran into his foot. What? How on earth?
That's just bizarre. How was that referee not even told to go and look on the screen? You know,
we're all looking at it and going, right, what happens when that happens? Yeah, when a player stamps on a player's leg or on his head or wherever, yeah, you look at the player's eyes, don't you?
Yeah.
And you go, was he looking at? He looks down at Lo Celso's face.
Unbelievable.
Stamps on his shoulder, then brings his foot over to his face, looking at him the whole time.
And do you know what Lo Celso was actually lucky about? And obviously you could see there was bad marks, and I would say that would be well swollen today. It's lucky that guy wasn't wearing blades, because we've seen some tackles and injuries with those blades, and you know, at the bottom of the boot, and they literally just rip your skin apart.
Yeah.
And because it was studs, obviously the studs would probably be slightly smoother and rounded. If he had had a set of blades on, can you remember actually the one, and it was terrible, the Rangers player Roof in the Europa League and the game of the racism against Sparta Prague, I think it was, or whoever that team Arsenal played, and he caught the goalkeeper. And you've seen the slice. That was because he was wearing blades. He sliced his whole face open.
Yeah.
If that guy had been wearing blades last night against Lo Celso, his whole face was ripped open. But I have never been as angry. I actually, even when Son's goal was ruled offside for his armpit hair, I was still more annoyed about the red card. Honest to goodness. And I tweeted again to Sky Sports, are they going to do a 3-hour debate on this? Because when Sonny kicked Rudiger the night against Chelsea and stuck his foot in the air, there was debates going on for a week on TalkSport and Sky Sport. It so annoys me. Really angers me.
But so they have United and Liverpool. You know, it's dominated by United and Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then Micah Richards, who is fantastic.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
But he's City. So you've got those three. On BT, obviously, you've got Glenn Hoddle, and BBC, you've got Jermaine Jenner. So a little bit of Spurs there. But it's dominated by those guys. And then Alan Smith, of course, who's Arsenal. So it's Kelly Cates, Liverpool. You know, and I dare say the presenters are Spurs, United and Liverpool as well, because of their age, you know, most probably. The whole panel... Soccer Saturday, always been Liverpool and Arsenal and Merson and all the rest of it. You know, that's what dominates Sky Sports. And the narrative is, I was thinking about this today, the narrative is, especially in view of they want to take our game, you know, Neville going, they want to take our game. Well, Neville, your team, United, dominated English football for 20 years. Through the 90s and 2000s. Before that, the 70s and 80s were dominated by Liverpool. Before that, the 60s dominated by Spurs.
Yeah.
You know, dominated in the last 20 years by Chelsea, and in the last 10 years by Man City. Dominated by these teams that pay the most money. And rather than saying things like, okay, who does Spurs need to buy so that Kane can win trophies? Who can they get in? Can they, for example, convince a guy like Bernardo Silva, who plays one game and then sits on the bench? Can they say to him, look, rather than playing for City one game on, one game off, or Jesus one game on, one game off, come and play for Spurs every single game? Yeah, that sort of debate. No, it's Kane's got to go. And they're almost willing it. They're desperate for it. Come on, Kane, go to City so that City can win by more. They're just desperate for. So it's absolutely hypocritical saying about these top sides going off and doing a Super Champions League when that's what they want anyway, because they want Kane. You know, Keane just says, "Oh, go and get Kane." For United,
yeah,
not hang on a minute, maybe it's Tottenham's time to have a little run. No. Just we're United. We're the biggest club in the world. We need to go and buy all the best players. And then Graham Souness goes, well, hang on a minute, we need to buy all the best players. And then City are laughing, going, well, we've got the best players, so I don't know what you're banging on about. But let's even it up a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, 100%. And that goes for, I'm sure Aston Villa fans are sitting at the minute that spoke a lot about Grealish yesterday as well. And, you know, but, you know, there's never any talk of us, but, like, it is what it is. It's frustrating because we're Spurs fans and it's the way it's going to be. But, you know, thank goodness, you know, this season's nearly over. Hopefully new manager in and then we can go again and hopefully build. But I think this is our problem. We get spoiled with Pochettino. Yeah. And he really, in all the years I've known you, Steve, and we've been doing this, those 2 or 3 years were the best we've ever seen, you know, in a long, long time. Probably in all my days supporting Spurs, it's been the best. And we actually started to believe, do you know what? We could actually win the Premier League. We nearly won the Champions League. Like that Champions League, Dave, I've spoke about this 100 times. I never believed that. I'd been waking up that morning and seeing Spurs in the Champions League final. Never thought it would happen. So we started to believe and we do believe that we're up there, but it's just been dragged away from us again. And now it feels as if we're 15, 20 years away again from ever doing that, you know. So this is a massive, massive summer coming up. And if Levy and Enoch are staying at the club, they know the pressure they're under from the fans. They need to pull something out, as in the manager, and to back the team, back the football team, not to do anything else. They've got everything else on board. If the crowds come back, their money will come. They need to do it, because if they don't, Steve, unfortunately, I think all of us guys will still love our team, will support our team. We just need to get our heads around, look, we might win a cup 1 year. We might do something. Forget about this Champions League. You know, just go out and play good football and entertain us, because I think as fans going to the stadium, and obviously you're a season ticket holder, I get over as many times as I can. You know, you just want to be entertained. Have a good day out meeting your mates, have a few beers, go in and watch a really good game of football and go home, you know, and that's what it's about. It's a bit like, sorry, I'm going to put a player, Saint-Maximin from Newcastle. I was watching him there the other day yesterday against Arsenal, and I went, we always go and sort of steal that player. Remember the Ginola time?
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Saint-Maximin come to Spurs, because he would just light up that stadium.
Yeah,
and do tricks and you know what? I'd love that. You know, that's what we want to see.
That's it. And you know, I said on the last show that we made a deal with the devil, getting Mourinho in, and as it turned out, we didn't actually, because it was poor football and in the end we weren't getting the results. Let's put I just want to put a nail in the coffin of the Jose Mourinho thing, because I've meant to do this before, but I just want to go through Mourinho's tenure and just very quickly just say a word about each game, Carl, and feel free to interject.
Okay.
But we start with West. This won't take, this seems like it's going to take ages. I promise you it won't, but you'll get the gist. So West Ham Spurs, 3-0 up, back to 3-2. Decent game. Olympiacos 2-0 down. We win 4-2. Great. We're thinking, all right, this is not the Mourinho we thought it would all be 1-0 wins, but Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. 3-2 against Bournemouth. Again, 3-0 up, back to 3-2. We're thinking, aye, this is a bit strange, but okay, we'll take this. Then we go to United. Turgid, awful performance. Great goal by Dele Alli, but a terrible performance. We beat Burnley at home, back on track. Okay, fine. Then we awful game against Bayern Munich away. Terrible. 3-1. We're lucky at Wolves with a Vertonghen last-minute goal, but we were battered. Terrible against Chelsea with 2-0, Willian scored. Terrible against Brighton on Boxing Day. Dele Alli popped up. Can't remember the 2-2 against Norwich, but I think it was a poor performance again. We lost to Southampton 1-0. We drew away at Middlesbrough in the FA Cup. Terrible game. We lost to Liverpool at home. I think we were slightly unlucky in that one. See where this is going? We beat Middlesbrough 2-1. Lo Celso scored, but I think it was another turgid game. 0-0 with Watford, awful. 2-1 against Norwich, poor game. 1-1 in the FA Cup at Southampton, poor game. 2-0, they battered us, Man City, but we did get it with the Steven Bergwijn goal. 3-2, we beat Southampton in the replay of the FA Cup. I can't remember that game. 2-3 away to Aston Villa. I think we were awful in the first half, and we got a lucky Sun goal in the last minute. Leipzig at home, terrible, awful performance. Chelsea away, terrible. Wolves at home, terrible. 2-3 loss. Worst of all of Mourinho's games, I think, was Norwich at home, when Norwich didn't want to win it. They picked a B team. We picked up, awful. At home, 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Burnley away, 1-1. Can't remember it.
Yeah, that was the game he took Dembele off at halftime, remember?
Yeah. Leipzig away, awful. 3-0. United, now... United at home, 1-1. Can't remember that one. We beat West Ham, 2-0. That's good. We beat Sheffield. No, we lost to Sheffield United. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I think we're back into... Yes, sorry. This is June now. So this is back in when
after
we...
After lockdown.
After lockdown. Right. So here we come. Yeah. So, yeah. 1-1 against United, 1-0 up. 2-0 West Ham, I think that was not too bad. Sheffield United away, absolutely awful. 1-0 at home to Everton, turgid game. 0-0 Bournemouth, the worst football match I've ever seen. 2-1 against Arsenal, rotten game, nicked it with an Alderweireld header. 3-1 away at Newcastle, can't remember much about that. 3-0 at home to Leicester. I think we were good the first half and then just a nothing second half. We killed the game and had an awful second half. 1-1 away at Palace, which cemented our place in the Europa, which everybody cheered about. But if you remember, we were like a Jeff Schlupp winning goal for Palace in the last minute.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember?
They battered us that game.
Battered us. Terrible again.
Yeah.
All right. Then we're back. Let me just go through this. Friendlies. Then we've got Plivdov or whatever. Plovdiv. 2-1 win. Terrible. Oh, dear. We've got... let me go back. Because, you've got to get the theme of what's going on here with these performances. So we've got... Plovdiv. Leighton Orient was didn't take place. Oh, dear. Shtenjka, or whatever it is. A 3-1 win. 1-1 with Chelsea, where, we did all right. Played better in the second half to win on penalties. Maccabi Haifa, that was a decent game. But we played our full-strength side to get into in a playoff, Europa playoff. My goodness. Yeah. 3-0 against Lask. Lost 1-0 in Antwerp. Ludogorets, we won. Lask, we drew 3-3. What we got here? Marine away, I thought, was a pretty poor performance, really.
Yeah.
Stoke, we go 1-0 up. We let them back in the game, and then we nick it towards the end. He got us to a final. Really? We beat Stoke away and we beat Brentford at home.
Yeah, we've got a bye.
Pretty poor. Fulham 1-1. Terrible. Sheffield United away 3-1. That was all right. Lost to Liverpool 3-1. Lost to Brighton 1-0. Lost to Chelsea 1-0. Beat West Brom 2-0. Whoopie-doo. Lost to Everton in the Cup. I thought you were Cup man, Jose. Battered by Man City, 3-0. What have we got? Lost to West Ham. beat Burnley 4-0. Hey. Beat Palace 4-1. Oh, this was the good run. And then we beat Zagreb 2-0 and then lose 3-0 in the reverse fixture. Disgraceful. Terrible performance against Arsenal, 2-1. Beat Villa 2-0, that's all right. Newcastle, dreadful again. United at home, dreadful. Everton, 2-2 when we should have beaten them. When we beat Southampton, well, that's when Jose's gone. So,
yeah,
you know, the theme is, and I may have missed out some games there.
But you missed out the 6-1 at Old Trafford.
What's happened there? I don't know what's happened. Oh, I've skipped a load of games.
Because that was good.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I'm looking at the fixtures here.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there was that run with the United where we were top of the league, you know, where those games, that was right at the start of this season. So it was.
Yeah.
But that was once December hit in, then it all turned.
Yeah, actually, I've got the fixtures here. I don't know why it's not showing the fixtures before.
Must be a Sky Sports app or something you're looking
at. No, it's the actual fridge. But okay, so we beat United, but they were down to 10 men. We obviously won, beat Southampton, but again, just there's been some rotten old games, hasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, look, whenever you read it out like that and sit and listen, the bar, obviously the United 6-1 game, there was actually no games there. Probably his first game when we beat West Ham. Okay, I know they got two late goals and it made it look worse than what it was. But probably that West Ham game, the Man United game, 6-1, and maybe beating Arsenal, because at the end of the day it's beating Arsenal, were probably the only enjoyable games out of every one of those that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, when you really look at that there, and it's just been so poor. Obviously, I wasn't on the last show with you and Doogie after he was gone. And anybody that's listened to us before and on Twitter, we were both delighted, Steve, whenever he got the job. We really thought, yep, we've got Mourinho. You know, who else would you have wanted? And I remember being glad because Arsenal at that time were looking for a slightly ready-to-sack their guy. And I wanted us to get Jose before Arsenal did, because that's what would have happened. But it's been a disaster. It really has. And the guy is just... unfortunately now the toxic one, as I call him. He's not the special one anymore. He came into our club and he just, well, he probably done it. You know what annoys me more? I watched, do you remember the documentary, I think it was Sky done on him, where he was back in Portugal? And did you see that, where they interviewed him around where he was brought up and where his dad played football? Did you ever see that documentary? Hello?
Yes, go on.
Sorry, could you hear me there?
Yeah, it's just breaking up a bit.
Yeah.
Keep going.
You know, that documentary, and I remember watching it going, this guy's learned a few lessons and he's got a smile back. You know, he's going to change his ways, but he didn't, Steve. And when you even watch, I watched, funny, the Amazon thing again there not so long ago, just to really watch it again. And he just wasn't the right man for our club. He really wasn't the right man for our club. And, you know, you listen to even Gareth Bale's interview last night, and we're talking about a world-class footballer. He's saying this, you know, a guy who has won everything, and he even done it on him.
Yeah.
And to me, that tells a lot, you know.
I've got the games here. Okay. And this is the only time I'll do this. If you don't like this, just fast forward or whatever. But we're just going to do these games. So this, for some strange reason, on the fixtures that came up, they skipped 6 months. So let's just go through these as well. So you get the theme. So Everton at home, first game of the season, dreadful, 1-0 loss. Dogs barking now.
Be quiet.
Right. And then Plovdiv. And then we beat Southampton. Terrible first half. But we come back second half and we hit them on the break. Brilliant. Then Newcastle 1-1. Oh, that was actually, I thought we played well in that game. Dire handball. Chelsea in the cup. Mackay Pfeiffer, which we talked about, beat United when they were 6-1. And we were doing all right. But then here's the massive turning point. 3-0 up, West Ham, 82 minutes.
Yep.
3-3. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
We beat
That was a big turning point.
We beat Burnley 1-0. We beat Brighton 2-1. I mean, these games are... Oh, I think Burnley was an awful game, but Sun with a header.
Yeah, that's right.
Brighton 2-1 again. You know what we said? West Brom away again. Kane last minute, 2 minutes to go. Rotten beat City when they battered us. Lo Celso with the second goal. Sun in the first 4 minutes. Chelsea away 0-0. Awful, awful game. Spurs 2, Arsenal 0. You know, a forgettable derby. Great goals by Son and Kane, to be honest. Tottenham, Crystal Palace, 1-1. Lost at Liverpool. Lost 2-0 at home to Leicester. Terrible performance.
Yeah.
1-1 with Wolves, where we went 1-0 up. You know, there's a theme here. Beat Leeds 3-0, which I thought was quite lucky, actually. Marine wasn't great, 5-0. 1-1 with Fulham, let a goal in again in the last 10 minutes, I think. Brighton, oh dear. So anyway, there we go. I think I've covered them all. But generally, it was turgid, it was rotten, it was kills a game, and we didn't, and it was just pants.
Yeah, it really was. And look,
but should have had him for the cup final.
I don't agree. I didn't want him for the cup final. I was just glad. It wouldn't have made a difference, Steve, whether he was there or I was on the bench or Ram, Mason, or you. It actually might have been better if it was me and you on the bench. But I don't know. Look, just thank goodness he's gone. Let's just wait and see what happens at the end of the season. New manager, let's see these protests, what way to go. I don't think they'll make one bit of difference. Daniel Levy isn't just going to go, that's okay. We'll sell it. You know, we'll go.
Why don't they collectively, all six chairmen, just go, club's up for sale. All of them. Just go, club's up for sale. Who wants to come and buy us?
Yeah, I tell you what.
You need six billionaires who are willing to invest and be better than the current mob.
Yeah. Well, put it like this. Here's a great thing to look at. The Man City fans aren't going to protest. They don't want their owners to leave. The Chelsea fans had the biggest cheek of all to stand outside and protest.
But they weren't protesting. But they weren't protesting Abramovich out, were they? They were protesting the competition. And why? Because they'll win the Premier League. They didn't want to be in this Europa thing, European Super League, because they win the Premier League every 2 years and they win the FA Cup every 2 years. So why would they want to be out of the competitions that they win to do that?
Yep. So, you know, City fans, Chelsea fans are not going to want their owners to leave. Liverpool fans probably deep down don't want their owners to leave because they've invested heavily. They've won a Premier League as well. Man United, they've always been on the Glaziers' back. So I get that. But when I seen the stats yesterday of what the Glaziers have put in, it's a joke. Arsenal fans, I can understand why they're wanting, and I can understand why our fans want ours to go. And ours is more to do with, we believe as fans, in my opinion, that Daniel Levy and Enoch do not back the footballing side of our club. Yes,
well, they do it poorly.
Or they do it poorly.
They should have backed Poch. When Poch was feeling down after the Champions League, they should have backed him. They should have backed Redknapp and should have instead of getting Sahar and Nelson. They've made some crazy decisions. Amazon documentary, terrible decision. The list goes on with these ridiculous decisions. And, you know, you almost think maybe Levy's too much of a fan. Maybe Levy, comes in to talk to the players too much. You know, Levy, go and start golf or something. Just, leave it to the football people. The Cronkies, right, for Arsenal, they couldn't name five Arsenal players, those owners.
Yeah, that's true.
Couldn't name five.
Yeah.
So that, we could have someone like that running our club.
To round it up, I tell you one man that wasn't happy with the Amazon documentary. Steve Hitchin. I had actually never heard of that guy in my life until that documentary. And boy, he's getting some stick.
Well,
why
doesn't Levy tomorrow just say, or say to him, listen, you've got to go. This is, you know,
Yeah.
Let's save both our skins. You go and get a nice little payoff or whatever. Go and do a different job somewhere else that you actually enjoy, because obviously you don't, the transfer thing that I've got you here for. Well, I don't understand it. What's he still doing at the club?
Unbelievable. I honestly think if that announcement was made very soon, it would appease a lot of fans.
Yeah.
You know, it really would. I think he is a big issue at the minute. But look, we just have to wait and see, Steve, what happens. And to me, the biggest thing now is, are they going to back us? Are they going to get us the manager that we want and what we need? You know, don't give me all this. You know what really made me laugh this week? Everybody jumping on the bandwagon of this Ajax manager, Ten Hag, or whatever you call him.
Mm-hmm.
Five, 6 weeks ago, if someone had mentioned him, everybody would have laughed. They'd have been, who? Who's that? And because his name's fired over social media for a week, everybody's gone, oh, this is the man for us. Absolute rubbish. I was delighted he didn't get the job. You know, he's just going to be another one of those Dutch managers that comes in and does okay. We need Premiership experience, a man that's ambitious, has a style of play, knows what players that he wants, and that's Brendan Rodgers, in my opinion. After that, if we've got to start a game, I'd take a Scotty Parker.
Yeah.
I'd take Scott Parker or a Graham Potter. Give them a chance. Give them a chance. If we're not going to really push the boat out, just go and get them.
They seem decent football people, and you know, I'm impressed with the way that their teams play. I suppose, you know, again, laughing emojis with some people. And one final thing, I mean, you know, what are we saying here about, you know, we can't stand our chairman, but you're looking at, you know, United fans can't stand the Glazers. And just, again, just take one player. I know he's injured at the moment, but in the middle of July, Jack Grealish will be, you know, his agent and himself will be going, right, where am I going? And the United fans will be saying, well, we'll have him. And the Arsenal fans and the Spurs fans and the Chelsea fans and the City fans and Liverpool fans, they'll all go, well, and just as an example, where's he going? Well, I'll tell you where he's going. He's going to Chelsea or City.
Yeah.
Because unless, you know, what will Villa sell him for? Let's say Villa sell him for 80 million, 70 million.
At least.
Yeah. And Levy goes, yeah, all right then, we'll do it. 70 million. The Sheikh from City will go, well, do you want 70? Well, do you want 85 million? 15 more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I got it in my pocket here.
Exactly the problem.
What can you do? Are we going to get a shake at Tottenham? You know, without getting too deep into the religious connotations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Without going down that road, I think people read between the lines. There, are we actually going to get someone from that part of the world to be the Tottenham manager, Tottenham chairman? Sorry, I'm not sure about that. Yeah, and the other option is to get, you know, a Russian oligarch who's, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Roman Abramovich is even allowed in the country.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because he's a money launderer, isn't he? I don't know. Isn't that the thing? Is that what we want?
Allegedly.
Yeah. Or do we want, which is the best one, and the best one is what we want is a Spurs born and bred, super fan with 10 billion, sorry, pound in the bank, who will come into Spurs, buy out Levy, buy all the rest of it, and then buy all the best players in the world. And he's a massive Spurs fan, you know, and we say, go on then, who's that then? Name names. Oh, there's loads of names. Well, go on then. Well, if only Levy lowers the price, we'll find out. So you want a Spurs-born, Spurs billionaire who loves Spurs, is going to invest all his billions into Spurs, and you want him to buy the club at a cut-down price just to do Levy, because you don't think he should buy it for the price that Levy wants to sell it for. What are you saying? Well, that doesn't make sense. Surely you want this guy to come in and go, name your price, Levy. I've got billions. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not to cut down price. It's just another Levy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
You won't buy it unless it's cut down price.
Let's get the oil money in. Get the oil money in. That's what I say. You're right.
Zuckerberg. Let's get Zuckerberg.
I'll take any of them.
By the way, that Eck. There's no way Eck is buying Arsenal.
Oh, no.
Absolutely no way.
Oh, dear. Brilliant.
All right, mate.
Well, yeah, it's good to catch up. And let's keep our fingers crossed. We can keep improving and keep entertaining this here till the end of the season. You never know where it goes. And then it begins. Let's see what date they announce Brendan Rodgers. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no. We shall see.
That's happening. He's a good Northern Irish man like myself.
I knew. So, I wasn't going to mention it, but there you go.
So big Brendan's on his way.
He's not. You sure he's not Schenkel Road?
No, he's Northern definitely Ireland. Not Schenkel Road.
What's the other road? Schenkel Road and the Falls Road, right?
Oh, aye. He's more of a Falls Road man.
All right. Look it up, youngsters.
Yes,
look it up on Google, what that means.
But he's the right man for Spurs, believe me.
All right, mate.
Okay, mate.
Cheers.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. Cheers, bye.
Cheers.